May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You know, I often spout off a little bit of, back when I grew up as a Baptist, growing up as a Baptist, I was used to sitting through sermons that were 25 to 30 minutes long. That's not a warning for this one. On a weekly basis, we would get those, right? And as a youth, I'd frequently play a little game with myself as my mind, as well as my eyelids, slowly closed down while straining to keep the sonorous tones of the preacher in my consciousness. What I would do, well, frequently I failed at that, by the way. Yeah, I was a snoozer. Frequently I failed, but I would play a little game with myself, and I'd ask myself, to keep my mind active, it's like, okay, if I were given this text right now, if I had to preach on it, what would I say? That kept me awake, actually, thinking about things like this, right? And I'm sure many of you are doing the same thing right now, right? I'm trying to keep awake. Well, this gospel passage today, I don't know, I would have a real problem with this one if I had to talk like off the cuff on it, right? Here we are, the first Sunday of Advent, right? Year A in our, lectionary cycle. Matthew's gospel is our gospel for this year. And where did our reading come from? Chapter 24? What? I thought this was the beginning of the year, not the end of it, right? Well, what we get is a teaching from what's called Jesus' Little Apocalypse. And this discourse is set when Jesus is with the disciples on the top of the Mount of Olives. And when you are on the Mount of Olives, by the way, you're overlooking Jerusalem. You can actually look down on Jerusalem just prior to when Jesus does walk down it and he enters Jerusalem for the last time. So why would we start the new year with a preview of the end? Why would we do that? One of the things we got to keep in mind is that the earliest church, they were anticipating Christ's return. Ever since the resurrection Sunday, it's like, he's coming back, and it's going to happen soon. It's going to be any time now. That's the reason why they kept doing their worship stuff every week, week after week after week. Any day now, it's going to happen. Well, today we are starting our time of anticipating Christ's coming, big difference here. We've got a day and a time. We know exactly when this is happening, right? This is November 30th. We know when it's coming. 25 days. Hello. We got the time. We can get prepared, right? It's going to be here whether we want it to or not. So what do we get? I've read this to you before. You didn't probably know that this is actually something I wrote, but this is a little poem I title Advent Rush. 4 Sundays, 4 weeks of preparation and primping, 4 Sundays, 4 weeks of prodding and poking, of buying and vending, of wondering and wishing, of shopping and shipping. 4 Sundays, 4 weeks of coping and crying, of moping and dying and living and dying. I'm going to sleep. Wake me up when it's all over. Any other poetry writers out there? I know there's somebody in here that writes poetry. Somebody talked to me the other day about them writing. Somebody's hiding their talent. Yes, okay. Mira Chakira, there we go. Very good. So typically, you know what? We end up asking ourselves, at the end of all of it, it's like, where did all that money go? Or where did I put all that food? Or after eating all that food, how am I going to fit in my clothes? When we should be asking better questions like, well, who did I actually see? Who did I meet? Who did I connect with? Was Jesus there? Where did we go? What did I truly see? Who am I now? What is the Holy Spirit birthing in me? So even though the church, you know, we call this time Advent, you know, it means arrival or coming, right? It's a time of spiritual preparation for the appearance of our Lord. In the real world, though, it's a busy time of doing this, that, and a whole lot of the other, right? And we heard some very pleasant readings today. The first one came from the prophet Isaiah, offering a vision of a day when all nations come to learn of God's ways. That's hopeful, right? Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways, that we may walk in his paths. And get this, I hope you heard this. The people shall do what? Beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Wow. Great. Instruments of terror and killing become farm implements and kitchen utensils. That's awesome. Neither shall they learn war anymore. Wow. Peace rules the day? It's a great picture, isn't it? Whew. But far from reality, yes? Well and good, preacher. But you know what? I got a lot of stuff to do. Let's get on with it. So, and a reading from Paul's epistle to the church at Rome, he's pleading with the Christians, and he actually said to them, now is the moment for you to wake from sleep. It may be night now, and has been night for a long time, but the day is near. Because of this, let's give up on everything that we've tried before, Paul is saying. Let's try something new. Paul says, let's try putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision of the flesh to gratify its desires. That's all we know how to do, though, when you think about it. How do we do this? You know what? Maybe Advent could be a time where we take something off of the to-do list. Maybe that's a way of doing it. You ever thought about that? You mean like during Lent? Yeah, sure. Why not? Readings that give us hope, they're nice. And this is a nice thing that it does right here. But you know what our hopeful readings don't do? They do not scratch anything off of our shopping list. They do not take any days of our calendar and free them up. We still have a bunch of things to do and a bunch of places to go, and certainly it does not make traffic any less hectic. And they certainly don't make people, especially those around us, any nicer, right? Thankfully, in the gospel reading, in Matthew, we get a wake-up call, right? An alarm clock. Yeah, literally, it's a wake-up call. The words that we hear from Jesus, they draw pictures of how his coming will occur for us. And he draws imagery very sharp, you know, the sudden flood in the days of Noah. Not all that pleasant, if you think about it. He draws a picture of an intrusive a kidnapping with people doing normal work. Two people, suddenly somebody's gone. We see that in the news every day now, though, with ICE things going on, you know, people getting deported. So, yeah, we're kind of used to that now. He uses the disturbing warning of our house being broken into. You know, these are not feel-good words. Think about it. Why isn't Jesus giving us feel-good words? Because Jesus is trying to wake us up. And you don't wake people up with pleasantries. Waking up can be a real, you know what. Well, Advent is a time when we can and do know the day of his coming. Remember, 25 days, look at the calendar. Jesus admonishes us all to wake up. That's right, wake up. I invite you to consider that the way we deal with being overtasked typically is that we go one of two directions. One direction we go is we just go mean. You've met the mean. Bah, humbug, right? We know those people. Or we go nice. We say everything with a smile. Bless your heart. And you know, we can either do either of these things without ever even waking up. It's just automatic. And we can actually do it all in a daze. Even gift buying can default into an exercise of just assuaging the guilt that we feel, right? That we feel about someone, rather than what it's supposed to be, right? Jim Gaffigan's got this wonderful thing about how would Jesus respond if Jesus were around the Christmas tree with you? Oh, a pair of socks, right? You know I'm dying for your sins, right? That's a Jim. I love Jim Gaffigan, and if you don't know Jim Gaffigan, you got to get to know him. He's a great comic. You know, I stopped buying gifts for people back in the 80s. I don't know how long ago that was, 40 years ago or so? I stopped buying gifts for people back in the 80s, so if you've been wondering why you never got anything from me, there you go. I stopped with decorating too, but I live in a luxury, luxurious world I call by myself. I don't live with any other body. I don't have no pets. I got no plants either. So I got that luxury, right? I've simplified my Advent Christmas to just three simple things. Adventure, that's this Friday. A little plug there for adventure, whoever the chairperson is, you're welcome. Who is that? I don't even know who the chairperson is. Exactly. Christmas Eve, yeah, got to be here Christmas Eve, right? We got we do have our Wednesday nights, by the way, at 6 p.m. Christmas morning. That's my thing. Pastor Scott, you got the day off on Christmas morning. I got that, no problem. So waking up can be startling, and it's easier just not to do it. And as they say, but if it were easy, everybody would be doing it. And it ain't easy, is it? Waking up is what there is to do. Waking up is hard to do. There's another song to put in your head there, Jenny. But I've got to go do this. No, you don't. But I've got to go buy that. No, you don't. The world at large isn't going to do what Christians are called to do, which is what? Waking up is what there is to do, and it's for us to do it. The real work, the work of transformation and being the followers of Christ, this is us. And as Christians, we have a vested interest in how things all turn out, because after all, we come to church every Sunday because of a promise and a hope that whatever awfulness is that's going on, that this is only, all that awfulness is just temporary. Thank God. And if there were a book titled Christianity for Dummies, have you written that yet, Jenny? It could be on your list there. Page one would say it very loudly and boldly, wake up and wake up now. That's right. And it is going to be Christmas Eve before you even know it. So I implore us all, people of God, have this Advent be the Advent when we actually wake up. Have this Advent be the Advent, arrival, the arrival of our own self-awareness. Have this Advent the arrival of our consciousness and our consciousness in loving people intentionally. Having our heart break for the right reasons. Increase your connections with people in your life. Deepen the foundations of love. There's a baby coming. We're going to see it in 25 days, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, embracing the love of God in its most basic and fundamental way. Wake up and realize that we are in charge of our own life, regardless of how it feels. We're not just a pinball bouncing around and being flippered back into the fray. This time is our life. And we can't just press the fast forward button. Give people the gift of you. We got to make that worth giving, though, don't we? But first, need to find you. And there it is, just down to the left in aisle U. Yeah. Being fully present, fully awake, loving people, God's creation to the max. We are the holders of the hope. And there's a lot we don't know. We know that already, that there's a lot we don't know. But what we do know is that it's coming, and it's right there on the calendar. We don't want to miss it. Wake up, sleeper, awake. The Lord draws near. Wake up! What words will come out of your mouth? And what is God bringing to the world through you? To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.